Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. It's no secret that I am a huge fan of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. We've been joined by folks from this past season. However, today we are going back to the beginning. In the first season, one woman stood out above the rest. She was called The Rock by many, including the producers. She shined as a very hardworking, determined, strong, and compassionate person, and she came back to the finale having lost the most weight and body fat over the other women and all but three men, making her the biggest female loser on the show. This amazing woman is Drea Baptiste, the director of HealthWorks at Cobman Square in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Drea, welcome to It's Your Health.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. I'm so glad to have you here. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your life prior to going on The Biggest Loser?
Sure. It's actually a funny story. The irony behind it all, actually. I'm first-generation American, and coming from the West Indies, we only knew fresh fruits and vegetables. We never ate fast foods. In school, I was an athlete. I ran track. I played volleyball, always active. Matter of fact, I used to get nicknamed Big Bird and Scully throughout because people, like, are so skinny, just skin and bones. And not to say that that's the way I should have been, but it just goes to speak to, like, my high, active lifestyle. And even throughout school, you know, I majored in health science and exercise physiology. I got my degree in exercise physiology. I've been personal training women and men for obesity and diabetes and hypertension for years. And to find myself come full circle to be caught in the conundrum of the women, of the people that I was helping.
Wow. Yeah. So basically, you know, not eating the fresh fruits and the vegetables and the foods that you were growing up with and coming here and eating all the fast food and, you know, convenience foods.
And you know what? Honestly, it wasn't necessarily that because I grew up, I mean, being here, my parents, I mean, home-cooked meals every day.
Fresh fruits
and vegetables. My mother was a huge believer in hay markets and farmers markets. So all our stuff, and she also works for the Food and Drug Administration. So with that background, we only ate healthy food. But it was more the lifestyle, and it was more that getting caught up in the day-to-day rat race. And, you know, here I am being single. I can't even imagine when you throw children into the mix and getting up in the morning and going to work and just going and going and going and just forgetting about yourself in the process.
Yeah, that's a big problem. You know, we just had a woman on who wrote a book about, you know, making over meals for kids. And it's true. It really does make it that much more difficult. Now, you know, I heard you in an interview with Larry King, and you mentioned that, you know, you heard about The Biggest Loser on the radio. Now, what was your first thought when you heard that?
It was funny because they had no name of the show on it, and I'll never forget the radio announcement. It was like, you know, first, the day before I heard the radio announcement, that was the first time that I had gotten on a scale in years because, you know, again, having a background in fitness, I knew what was going on. Did I want to accept it? No. So I created all kinds of, like, you know, glass bubbles for myself. Like, my clothes, the dry cleaner was shrinking my clothes. They're using new chemicals. European designers are coming over making these clothes. So
what's going on with your dryer, right?
Exactly. It wasn't me at all. So, yes, but at the same time, I knew it. Like, you know, I stopped going shopping. I stopped looking in mirrors. I stopped wearing shorts. I stopped wearing skirts. Like, I've cut out all these things out of my life without wanting to accept what was really going on. And I have a friend who's a physician, and I went to her office and stepped on her scale and nearly had a heart attack. When I tell you, I've never had a panic attack until that day. I never had an anxiety attack until that day. And I just said to myself, look, you know what to do. This is your life. You breathe this for everyone else, and you've changed everyone else's life. Why can't I get my own together? What is the problem? I just need help. And the next day, I kid you not, I'm driving into work and the radio comes on and the commercial, do you need a catalyst to just jumpstart you back into your wellness program? Are you just kind of lost in your head? I could have sworn I was being punked.
What's going on?
I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh my goodness.
And so that was the commercial, and they said that they were doing casting. in Boston, and so a girlfriend of mine just said, come on, let's do it, because we've been talking about dieting and all this stuff, but then, you know, we don't want to do it the regular way, so, you know, we're like, all right, what can we do? On? Let's look online and see what we can click on and just, you know, click
oh, yeah.
and drop, you know? I'm like, so we came back home, and I said, no, I can't do it. It was raining by the evening, and I picked up a book, and in that book fell out a photo of me on the beach, and I love the beach. I grew up around water all my life, and I was in a two-piece on the beach, and after that, I was like, Lord, I got it, okay? I got it. I hopped in my car, drove all the way back to Boston, and I was standing outside of the line just contemplating and started a conversation with a gentleman who happened to be the casting director. Okay. And out of that conversation and contemplation came me being on The Biggest Loser.
Oh, that's awesome.
So.
Oh, that's terrific.
And it was definitely, I feel like it was meant to be, because I feel like I couldn't really appreciate what I was doing prior to until I had to live it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a newfound appreciation, and I can help the people that I help that much more, because I truly have a deep-rooted understanding of what they're going through.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Definitely does. So you got on the show.
Yeah.
And you get there. And now, did you meet everybody first, or how did
that
work?
No. And it's funny. Like, I packed a suitcase for a vacation, because I'm like, yeah, I know, it's an hour day. I got this. This is me. I know what to do. So I was ready to go out to L.A. and just vacation for 3 months. I packed swimsuits, sun hats, sunglasses, you name it, my suitcase. I was a celebrity. I knew I was going out there to live that life. And we got there, and we're staying in a hotel. You don't see any of the cast members. Matter of fact, like, you're assigned a bodyguard, a watchdog.
You
can't even leave the room without asking permission. The day we started taping at the ranch, we all got into a truck, essentially blindfolded, so we didn't even know who we were sitting next to. And the blindfolds come off, and boom, the camera starts rolling.
Oh, wow.
So they want immediate reaction. Who are these people? Like, everything.
Oh, now, did they give you time to talk, you know, story? Hey, how, you know, where are you from? What's your name? What's going on?
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no. Cameras start rolling, and they're capturing all this as the cameras start rolling, just to get our initial reactions. And it was actually great, you know, just... It was a true tried and test on just understanding us as humans. Like, we're all adults, you know, we've all live our independent lives, and so all you have is a bunch of chiefs, no Indians, and someone's got to lead. So it makes for great TV.
Oh, yeah.
As you guys can see, it makes for great TV.
Now, speaking of leading, now, when you met Bob, what were your first impressions with him, and what was your first conversation with him like?
Oh, my goodness. When I first met Bob, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Number one, he was absolutely delicious. I'm like,
oh,
who is that man?
Oh, man.
I'm like, thank you. That's my trainer. Okay, let's run, because I can run behind that man. All day long. But when I first met him, he was really great. We just talked, and of course, you know, me being the very strong leader that I am, I go up to him and I'm like, yeah, so how are we going to do this? You know, I know, yeah, I come from, you know, fitness background, so I got this, that, and I know about supersetting, and I know about this and that, so how do you think, you know, it'd be great, because then you can show me some things, I can show you some things, you know, and we can work together on this. He just looked at me and he goes, okay, baby, you know, with his little Tennessean accent.
Oh, love that.
And he said, okay, I'm going to show you some things. I like that. Let's sit down and let me show you some things. Well, after about 10 minutes and then me puking in the bushes, he was like, now, did you learn anything? It's like, okay, we're going to get along just great.
Well, you know, I was thinking it might be challenging being that you have, you know, such an extensive background in physical fitness and exercise physiology to, you know, listen to somebody else and, wait, what if your way is better? Or did you ever have, you know, did you think like, well, wait a second, Bob, I'd rather try this? Or you're like, you know what, I just need to do what Bob needs, you know, tells me to do.
Yeah, you know what, my biggest lesson, and I think the biggest thing that I needed to learn within myself and what the show taught me was to surrender control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was very big into doing for everyone else and taking on the responsibility for others, whether it be their job finding, their house hunting, like, everyone came to me and I was their decision filmmaker. And, you know, and it, the show really was able to teach me, and Bob was really able to help me with just let it go, you know, let somebody else just help you. You can't do it all. So just sit back and just let me take care of you.
Yeah, that's good.
For a change. And that was hard because I get that type A personality. If I ask someone to do something, I have to go back and redo it, you know, and it's not, I'm just checking up on, that's just who I am. So it was very hard for me to be able to relinquish control over myself, over my being, yeah, to someone else.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the type A personality, and, you know, you had such a competitive spirit and determination to kick butt. And speaking of kicking butt, you know, in that one challenge when you had to climb the 74 flights of stairs,
yeah,
and you and Kelly Mack won. And then one week you were the biggest loser and you shed, you know, more pounds than anyone. And, I mean, you really, you were just amazing.
Well, you know, I think that was the finding of me during that. You know, I hadn't realized how over the years, I lost that identity, and being able to find that and regain it just really just made me even stronger of an individual, but it made me a more open, wiser individual with it at the same time.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and so I think with that and just that finding and that nuance just opened up into somebody who was like, you know what, I got to be here and I want to see where this road's going to take me all the way to the end. I don't want to get off the roller coaster. I got to ride it out to the end.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, the week that you were voted off was when Caroline Ray, the host at the time, announced that the competition was going to be individuals and not teams.
Yeah.
And when I interviewed Felipe Faw from this past season recently, he talked about, you know, that he got voted off because he was a big threat. And it seems like that's what happened with you. And you were saying, you know, discovering these things about yourself and finding that strength, which is fantastic. And at the same time, the other people caught on to that and said, wait a second, you know, let's we need to make a change here.
So. Yeah, you know, and that's it's funny, the dynamic throughout the show, you know, when you're forming your alliances and everything and you're strategically voting people off and, you know, along the way, it's fun and games until you come around and you're in that hot seat. And yeah, you know, being voted off because of being such a strong person and athletically strong and being such a threat that, yeah, I'm like, and of course now I'm sitting here going, well, this isn't fair to you.
Yeah.
This doesn't pose a challenge for you. Now this makes it easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Felipe talked about that, about, well, don't you want to compete against the best? Come on,
right,
people, like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Let's keep the best folks in here and let's compete.
Exactly. Oh. But you know what? It's all about, it's about the game. You know, there's so many different dynamics about it, and I, you know, I'm glad I came off when I did, because coming home, goodness, having those 2 months off really just to get back into things and get acclimated, because reality TV is not reality, you know.
Yeah.
My life still kept going. Every day, you know, the sun rose and set, life was still going on outside of being on the ranch, so having to come in, and it doesn't stop, and you just have to kind of just find a way to just jump back in.
Yeah.
So
how did that feel? Was it difficult?
You know, it was a reality check, and I say it was a reality check in the sense that I really learned who was in my corner. You know, I had people that were there for me because I was in that conundrum. I was in that lost state, and so they would be able to feed and fester off of that. For their own gain. And these are people that were constantly around me. You know, you really find out who your true friends are at that point in time. You know, I had people that just paused a button in their life, and the minute I came back, they were like, oh, thank God, you were gone forever. Oh, I have to ask you about this. I got to tell you about this. What do you think about that? And I'm like, how about hi? How are you? You know, are you breathing? Is everything okay? Because, you know, you can't speak to anyone. You're cut off from life. Uh-huh. For the entire time that you're there, and so this is what you get. And it just really made me realize that, you know, I did this mental and internal purge while I was out on the, you know, out in LA, and I had to come back home and do that same purging in my life for the people that were around me, including family.
Mm. Wow. Now, was your family pretty supportive? And actually, I'm going to go back for a second. Speaking of your family, I heard you in an interview, and you told this great story about when your mom heard. Yeah. Can you tell us about that, when she heard the name of the show?
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't know the name of the show while we were out there. So you're just going blind based on a description of what's to come. And I guess the news broke as to what the show was that they were taping. And at this time, we were already out, well underway, right about to film, and I get a call from my mother, and she's panicked on the phone. She's like, I need you to come home right now. I'll get you a ticket. Get on the plane right now. You need to come home. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, that show is going to be called The Biggest Loser. You will not be embarrassing me, The Biggest Loser. They're going to be like my big fat jerk or whatever that shows up. They're going to embarrass you. And by embarrassing you, that's embarrassing me, and you will not be embarrassing me on national TV. Get home. And I'm like, Mom, just calm down. Just calm down. She's like, you've worked too hard in life to make yourself successful into who you are to be embarrassed like this.
Oh,
and discredit you. And I'm like, okay, Mom, just calm down. I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to ride this out. You know, I'm adventurous. I'm a risk taker in life. And I'm like, this is just going to be another risk for me. And I just want to see where it goes.
Well, it's funny because, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, you came back to the finale and you had lost the most weight and body fat over the other women and all but three men. So you actually were the biggest female loser on
right.
the show.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm telling you, I mean, when I tell you I worked my butt off, I never worked so hard. And I'll tell you, I lost just about as much weight that I lost on the show at home within the 2 month period.
Oh, wow.
Just because your metabolism is just so revved up. When I tell you, one day, I'll never forget, it was Thanksgiving weekend when I was home, and we had a huge feast, and family from all over came because now, you know, they wanted to see who I am and what I look like now. And I had on a pair of pants that Thursday. By the following Wednesday, I was able to pull those pants up and down without even unzipping them or unbuttoning them. Like, it was just insane just how much your metabolism, I'm so sorry, is revved up, and just how much you're just fueled. And knowing that there was still something to come, I just felt like this wasn't how the show was going to end. You know, I would get up in the morning, because you also have to remember, you're going, on average, I worked out, no kidding you, about 10, I would say even 12 hours a day sometimes.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was your day. And on top of producing a show and doing the challenges where it's hurry up and wait and that hot sun in the middle of August, you know, and when you think about it, for me, because my body was so acclimated to fitness and activity throughout the years, even though I, you know, had gained weight and became overweight, my body was still more difficult than those who had never worked out to lose the weight. So if you look back, the most I lost on any given week is 8 pounds. I lost 8 pounds once, and that was my highest, versus people that were losing 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And 10 pounds a week. 8 pounds was my highest. Outside of that, I was a consistent 5 pounds a week, working out for 12 hours a day.
Oh my god!
You know, so I tell women, and it's so funny, at the gym, women are like, well, I work out for an hour a day, and I am not losing that kind of weight. What were you on? What were you taking? Sit down. Let me tell you the full story, okay?
Yeah. You know, it's also, I heard you in an interview also talking about the fact that, you know, you were in this kind of contained environment. Mm-hmm. You're working out 10 hours a day. It is going to be different for folks who are working out an hour a day and have busy lives and have kids and jobs. And,
absolutely.
You know, that makes a huge difference.
Even coming home and maintaining, you know, between that period of home and shooting the finale, you know, you go from even 6 hours a day down to 2 hours a day. Who in the real world has that much time to take from work or their families to work out on a consistent basis? No one. So now you're down to maybe 2 hours a day at best. And literally what I was doing, I did 3 hours a day. I would do an hour and a half in the morning, be up at 4 o'clock, at the gym at 5, work out for an hour and a half, so then I can go to work, and then come back and work out for another hour and a half. You know, and I could do that, and that was too much, but I can do it because it was just me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, but even still, going from 10 to 12 hours to 3 hours a day, that's a huge deficit. So at the same time, that was still a shock to my body. Like, whoa, what's going on?
Oh my God.
So then the fight becomes harder now. You know, so there's this, you know, for every good, there's a downside. or an obstacle that, you know, that or a challenge that gets faced that people don't realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, another thing when you were on Larry King, you know, he asked you if you still wanted to lose more weight, and you said, you talked about that you could probably lose a little more, but that, you know, it was really about the way that you felt and your inner person and feeling more confident, and about, you know, what Bob had taught you through the whole experience. And you mentioned earlier, you know, that you really learned a lot. And if mm-hmm. you can just touch on, is there anything else that really stood out for you going through this experience?
You know, again, it's just really, you know, self-acceptance. And I found that that was not something that I had at that point in time. And I think, you know, finding that out again and knowing that, you know what, this is who I am. Number one, I'm never going to look like any folk that's in Hollywood. So what I see in the magazines and what I watch on TV is never going to be me. Yeah. You know, I am blessed with curves.
Yeah,
by
you
being
too.
An ethnic woman, you know, I have my thighs and I have my hips, and that's who
right.
I am.
You're gorgeous.
You know, and I accept that. Along with that, they have their cellulite. That's just going to be the bad part of the marriage, you know. That's going to be the difficult part, but it's there. So I'm going to have to deal with it. And, you know, once I can accept myself, then I know that there's other people out there that can accept me as well.
Yeah.
And the first part of that is for me to acknowledge that within myself. And, you know, going through the experience, yes, again, like, you know, the weight was just, I really feel that it was the manifestation of that whole change, you know, in my inward appearance mm-hmm. that needed to change. And because that changed, that became brighter. I mean, I overcame things with Bob that I never would have done on my own. You know, and he and I would go on just private walks one-on-one, and next thing I know, I'm climbing mountains at the very top where if I look over, all I see is just the ocean, you know, and so I had no place up to go but up, and he would be there, so I'm not going to help you. You need to do this on your own. You need to face this on your own. You know, and just working through all that, I mean, everything else just fell into place. And now I tell people, that's how you have to feel. Don't come to me and say, I need to do this for so-and-so. Or, you know, my husband doesn't do this to me or you know, look at me or feels this way because he doesn't like the way I look. I'm like, okay, do you like the way he looks? Because men get beer guts, okay?
That's right. You sure do.
And we have to accept that. We have to accept their, you know, their changes in life. Mm,
such a double standard. Oh, don't
exactly.
even get me started.
Now, I'm like, live for you, you know, live
yeah.
for you, through you.
And now, because of everything you went through, and all, obviously your, you know, background, you're helping other people, you know, and your work, if you could tell us about your work at HealthWorks at Common Square in Dorchester.
My work that I do is absolutely amazing. HealthWorks is a fitness center for women that's in the Massachusetts area, which started a nonprofit side to provide gym services and health and wellness programming for women who are in at-risk neighborhoods or, you know, and for poor economic status who can't afford gym memberships. So we have two locations here in an area of Boston called Dorchester where if you, you know, research it, it has a lot of poverty, a lot of single family households where the mom is the, you know, the main head of household, below poverty lines, you know, no further education outside of high school. So, you know, we have these women and we're bringing them in. Number one, we're completing like a triad, if you will. It's about mental health, it's about financial health, it's about physical health, and really trying to bring that education to the forefront. And I mean, I have women that have never walked on a treadmill before, and they walk in the door and they're taking baby steps, and those baby steps a month later turns into weight loss, improved flexibility, improved strength. They're coming in saying, oh my gosh, I slept for a full night. I got 8 hours of sleep today. Mm. You know, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And retraining them to again, that inward appreciation and just really take care of yourself, how to eat properly, how to do that for your children. We also have a children's fitness as well that's glassed off, so the parent can see their child getting that same information that they are, and they're doing it together, and so they're learning as a family unit. You know, we're building a teaching kitchen so we can teach them how to cook healthy, so that they can just come here and have everything that they can possibly dream of that's going to improve their health and wellness.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Now, do you ever have volunteer dietitians or anything come in to, you know, help out? Or
yeah, the community is absolutely awesome, because, you know, this is a need.
Oh.
This is the first time that any major corporation in health and fitness has taken the stand to come into the communities to help people. So they have just been welcoming. Pretty much all of my staff is pretty much volunteer. Every day I'm getting emails for people who want to volunteer and help out. And from dietitians to wellness coaches, every last one of my group exercise instructors are volunteers, and we teach everything from yoga, Pilates, kickboxing, you name it, we have it. Full schedule, Monday through Saturday, and it's all volunteers.
Well, I was going to say, I'm certified to teach children's yoga, and I would love to volunteer.
I will get in touch with you. That would be awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
They love it. We've dabbled in it a little bit.
Okay.
And the kids, you know, it's just been awesome to see, like, folks that their eyes are just opened up to so many new things, and when they start and they feel the benefits of it, they like want more. Like, I have people coming in every day. When are we getting spin bikes? I read about spin. I'm like, see, you don't even know about it. They're like, I don't care. I saw it. I read about it. I want spin now. I want to try it. I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's great, because now they're taking, that tells me that they're also going home and they're researching, and they're taking more, they're taking that accountability within their own health, and that's awesome.
Well, you are such an inspiration, and we only have a minute. I wanted to ask you if you're still doing Wake Up Live with Corey and Dre, because I really enjoyed watching that, and I especially enjoyed your interview with, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Dima Inchendu, who is...
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to interview her about sickle cell anemia. So.
Oh, she's great. I can certainly pass her information on to you. That show, we actually took a hiatus for a little bit. Corey and I actually, I'm not sure if you could tell by the show, we were adamant that no one could tell, but everyone that saw us knew. They were like, oh, you guys are totally in a relationship.
I thought I saw some sparks there.
They were like, don't even try it. You guys are totally in a relationship. So we got engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Last year. Thank you. And with everything, and he's a comedian and traveling, so it just kind of, schedules kind of got crazy, and then me taking on this position. So we took a hiatus, but we are bringing it back because, again, the community here, community in Greater Boston, as you know, is very strong. So people really loved it. They thought it was informative. So we'll be bringing it back in the fall.
Oh, great. Now, people want to watch them now. Can you give us the website for that, and also how to contact you at Common Square?
Sure. So if people want to watch Wake Up, everything is online. They can go to Wake Up Live TV. .com.
That's okay.
And if anyone wants to reach me at Codman Square, whether it be volunteering, I do a lot of workshops, educational workshops around women's health and wellness. More than welcome to have you come down. Feel free to reach me. The number is 617-825-2800. Our website is HealthWorks with an S at the end, foundation.org, and they can also reach me by email there as well.
Well, Dre, I want to have you come back. That was so much fun, and I'm going to be calling you about volunteering for yoga, so thank you so much for coming on, and if people like to contact me, simply go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, coming up in a few minutes at 10, we'll be joined by Diane Kress, registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator, and author of the New York Times bestseller, The Metabolism Miracle, 3 Easy Steps to Regain Control of Your Weight Permanently. So keep listening. Diane is great. Her book is fantastic, and you'll learn that there's more than one type of metabolism. So have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.